We are the only people in America that it is socially acceptable to hate and discriminate against. This is democracy. These are the equal rights for all that America's Bill of Rights proclaim for all.
X number of people are going to approve and X number of people aren't. So you might as well get your message across the best way you can.
Anger, along with love, are the two most healthy and powerful emotions we are good at.
There's an African-American man threatening my life.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Queer couples in China and Hong Kong seek inheritance rights, a black gay bird watcher clips a racist wings in Central Park, and honoring the life and legacy of Larry Kramer. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 30th, 2020. Queer couples in China may be the winners under the nation's first civil code to include right to reside provisions. It appears to offer the chance to specify the right of a partner to live on any property an individual owns after they die. Jang Qianlin is an attorney who specializes in property law. He told Reuters that the provisions in the civil code lawmakers approved this week do not put restrictions such as kinship or gender on the people who can be given the right to reside. It could become gospel for the LGBT community. But another property law specialist was more cautionary. Yang Jianwei told the news agency that every authority may not interpret the general wording of the code that way. He warns that whether it can protect the property rights of same-sex couples is still up for debate. Meanwhile, Chinese government officials have dismissed any notion of marriage equality. An official with the Legislative Affairs Commission of the National People's Congress Standing Committee rejected organized public lobbying for it in late May. Huang Wei said that the country insisted only on heterosexual marriage. She dismissed thousands of letters and posted online comments supporting marriage equality during the draft civil code public comment period. She called it an organized act with copied and pasted messages. The new civil code was passed on May 28th and is set to take effect in China on January 1st, 2021.
A gay homeowner in Hong Kong is challenging inheritance laws that don't allow him to bequeath his property to his legal spouse. Edgar Eng Han Lam married Henry Lee Yik Ho in London in 2017, but Hong Kong does not recognize the marriage. Married heterosexual couples enjoy automatic inheritance rights, however. The South China Morning Post reported on May 27th that lawyers for Eng are not demanding marriage equality, just inheritance equality, the orderly distribution of estates. They argue that Eng's spouse Li would, in essence, be treated as an outsider if Eng neglected to prepare a will, even though Eng would want to provide for his husband. Attorney Jin Pa argued that it's no good answer to say you can prepare a will. The implication of difference in treatment is very serious for my client and wholly disproportionate. Representing the Hong Kong government, Abraham Chan Lok Shung countered that marriage equality and civil unions had been rejected by Hong Kong courts as recently as last November. He argued that Eng and Li are simply not in a comparable legal position to their heterosexual counterparts, and that even they must prepare wills if they don't like the property distribution provisions in the Interstates Estate Ordinance. According to the news report, Mr. Justice Anderson Chow Ka-ming has reserved his decision.
An anonymous man in Malaysia is challenging his state's religious laws that make consensual adult homosexual sex a crime. There's essentially a dual legal system in the world's most populous Muslim-majority nation. Secular laws against same-gender sex are not often enforced, but in the 13 states ruled by Islamic law, Muslim citizens are frequently prosecuted for the same violations. Reuters reported this week that the 30-something Muslim man in the state of Selangor was arrested in 2018 for attempting gay sex, a charge he denied. He had been caught up with 10 other men in one of the country's frequent raids by religious authorities on a private residence. Five of his co-defendants pleaded guilty and were sentenced last year to canings, fines, and jail. The plaintiff's attorneys say that they are keeping his identity private for safety reasons. They argue that the state has no power to enforce its Islamic law banning intercourse against the order of nature when same-gender sex is already criminalized in civil law. Malaysia's top court allowed the lawsuit to go forward in a May 14th decision that was only made public this week. A statement by the Malaysian Queer Rights Coalition LGBTIQ+ Network cheered the court's green light. The network points to what it calls an ongoing national trend of using laws against unnatural sex to disproportionately criminalize, marginalize, and persecute communities based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Attorney Surendra Anant told Reuters that he expects the man's case to be heard before the end of this year.
A well-known actor in Turkmenistan is among a number of men who have been sentenced to 2 years in prison just for being gay. The unidentified actor, his spouse, and about a dozen other men were arrested in March on suspicion of engaging in homosexual acts, according to local news sources. No one was reported to have been literally having sex when the raid occurred. Some detainees are thought to have bribed police or agreed to testify against the others to gain their release. The remaining men were convicted on the basis of signed confessions, probably coerced. Each got a 2-year prison sentence. Under Turkmen law, a repeat offender could be sentenced to up to 10 years behind bars. Most LGBTQ people in the conservative and unaccepting, mostly Muslim Central Asian nation stay deeply closeted. According to the Sydney Star Observer, the unnamed actor is the son of a diplomat, but family connections did not save him. Human Rights Watch joined several advocacy groups to condemn the arrests and jail sentences. A statement called on Turkmenistan to repeal laws criminalizing consensual adult same-gender sex and protect people from violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation. It said that this blatantly discriminatory law violates Turkmenistan's international human rights obligations and enables police to subject gay and bisexual men to harassment, including with the purpose of extortion, humiliation, and abuse.
The president of Zambia has pardoned the gay male couple infamously sentenced to 15 years for sodomy. They are reportedly among almost 3,000 people pardoned by President Edgar Lungu on Africa Freedom Day, which commemorates the creation of the Organization of African Unity. 39-year-old Jafet Chadaba and 31-year-old Stephen Samba were jailed in November 2019, convicted for crimes against the order of nature, and slammed with 15-year sentences. U.S. Ambassador to Zambia Daniel Foote became collateral damage when the Trump administration recalled him after Zambian officials took exception to his outspoken criticism of the harsh prison sentences. He was quoted as saying that it personally horrified him. Reacting to the announcement of the May 22nd pardons, opposition party leader Sean Tembo told a Zambian radio station that Lungu has no option but to apologize to Foote for his victimization and humiliation now that the sentences have been overturned. Pink News noted that evangelical Christianity affects virtually every aspect of daily life in Zambia, and anti-queer attitudes are pervasive. So the pardons are not seen as any sign that life for LGBTQ people in the East African country will be getting any better.
Finally, just one day after the cameras of witnesses captured George Floyd's death by cop in Minneapolis, Minnesota, an incident involving an African-American gay activist and a white woman in New York's Central Park also went viral. Chris Cooper is a colleague of This Way Out's friends Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA, and is an avid bird watcher. While pursuing his passion on May 26th, he tried to get another park patron to leash her dog in an environmentally sensitive, restricted area. Chris told Ann and Andy what happened when the woman refused and demanded he stop videotaping her.
Up until then, it was just a conflict between a dog walker and a bird watcher. And here's where she took it to a dark place, when she said, if you don't stop recording me, I'm going to call the police.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
And I'm like, oh boy, so what do I do now? Because, you know, the implications for me are clear.
Long story short, Chris was gone, and the woman was unable to give the police her exact location. So, fortunately, nothing drastic occurred at the scene. However, when the news got out, the woman lost her job at a prestigious financial firm, voluntarily surrendered her dog to the rescue organization she got it from, and may be banned from Central Park for life. She has tried to issue an apology, but Chris thinks there's more to it than that.
I'm trying to look at this beyond her, because, you know, her split-second, extremely poor judgment that led her to a racist place. You know, she's paying the consequences for that. How do we start to address the underlying issue that led her there, that leads to all these deaths and all these problems? I just prefer not to be the news. I'd rather be talking about the news.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending May 30th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is usually recorded in the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, but we're recording remotely during this COVID-19 emergency. The news is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Michael LeBeau. Stay safe.
Plague! 40 million infected people is a plague!
AIDS activist Larry Kramer speaking in 1991.
We are in the worst shape we have ever, ever, ever been in. And I say to you in year 10, the same thing I said to you in 1981 when there were 41 cases. Until we get our acts together, all of us, we are as good as dead.
Surviving the wartime of AIDS, many people probably thought the indomitable Larry Kramer would live forever. But the infamous author and ACT UP co-founder died of pneumonia on May 27th at the age of 84. Tributes to Kramer have been pouring in, and we've collected just a few of them.
I'm very sad that we've lost him. He's just an extraordinary man.
Dr. Anthony Fauci of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
He changed totally by his extraordinary iconoclastic and theatrical ways of doing things. He changed the relationship between the afflicted community with a given disease and the scientific and regulatory community that has such a great impact on them. He said, you can't be separate. You got to keep us in the tent. We've got to be in there with you.
I am so sick of hearing about our tactics offending people. The Vietnam War was not ended by people being nice. Nice people walk into gas chambers.
I think we've had to resort to these tactics because nobody listens, quite frankly. We are a nonviolent organization. I don't think we're here to make friends. We're here to raise the issues. No matter what you do, X number of people are going to approve and X number of people aren't. So you might as well get your message across the best way you can.
At the 20th anniversary celebration for the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power in March of 2007, Kramer talked about why and how ACT UP worked and why that kind of work was still needed.
It happened fast. Almost every man I was friendly with died. Many of us will always have memories like this that we can never escape. Out of this came ACT UP. We grew to have chapters and affinity groups and spin-offs and affiliations all over the world. Hundreds of men and women once met weekly in New York City alone. Every single treatment against HIV is out there because of activists who forced these drugs out of the system, out of the labs, out of the pharmaceutical companies, out of the government, into the world. It is an achievement unlike any other in the history of the world. All gay men and women must let ourselves feel colossally proud of such an achievement. How could a population of gay people call us the survivors or the descendants of those who did all this, be so relatively useless now? Maybe useless is too harsh, ineffectual, invisible. No, useless is not too harsh. Oh, let us just call ourselves underutilized. The old ACT UP is no longer useful enough. There are not enough of us. Few people go to meetings. Our chapters have evaporated. Our voice has dimmed in its volume and its luster. Our protests are no longer heard. We must be heard. We must be. They don't want us here. When are we going to face up to this? It is criminal how they treat us. We get further and further from progress and equality with each passing year. We do not seem to realize that the more we become visible, that more and more of us come out of the closet, the more vulnerable we become to the more and more increasingly visible hate against us. We do not seem to realize that the more we urge each other to come out, which indeed we must never stop doing, the more we must protect ourselves for and from our exits onto the stage of the world that hates us more and more. It has been a painful lesson to learn, but democracy does not protect us. Unity does. United commitment to confront our many foes. We are the only people in America that it is socially acceptable to hate and discriminate against. This is democracy. This is how our courts and laws protect us. These are the equal rights for all that America's Bill of Rights proclaim for all. How dare we stop? We cannot stop. We are not crumbs. We should not accept crumbs. We must not accept crumbs. ACT UP is the most successful grassroots organization that ever lived, period. There never was, never has been, one more successful that has achieved as much as we. We did it before, we can do it again. But to be successful, activism must be practiced every day by a lot of people. It made us proud once, it united us. With a renewed commitment to love and support and to fight to save each other, with a renewed commitment to the anger that saved us once before, with the belief that anger, along with love, are the two most healthy and powerful emotions we are good at. I believe that we could have such a historical success again. Farewell, ACT UP. Long live ACT UP. Thank you.
That was Larry Kramer speaking at the 20th anniversary of ACT UP. We'll be back with more tributes to the late great activist after this special announcement.
Save the date, Thursday, June 25th. This Way Out will be hosting a global queer read-in, a free virtual streaming pride event. LGBTQ people reading portions of their favorite queer book with 2020 Pulitzer Prize winner Jericho Brown. For more information, go to thiswayout.org.
As we continue our tribute to Larry Kramer, three comrades talk about his loss.
I think for gay men of my generation, the first awareness that most of us had of Larry was when his really extraordinary novel, Faggots, was published.
Multi-award-winning playwright Tony Kushner was amazed by Kramer's work.
I mean, just the title alone, Faggots, was incendiary. It was a shock to the heterosexual population, and it was a shock to the LGBT community. It was a word that many of us felt we were fighting to permanently retire. He embraced it. It was an early manifestation of the sexual minoritarian people calling themselves queer. And then the Normal Heart happened after that in 1985, I believe, 86, at the Public Theater in New York. And it was a play like none other before. I think it's one of the rare works of art that actually is both a great work of art and galvanized people to immediate action. It's a rare work of art that was written about an overwhelmingly terrible moment in the moment that it's describing. I still don't understand how Larry did that. And for people who are interested in theater, for people who are interested in politics, Normal Heart gave, I think, a permission for gay theater to become overtly political. He's an impossible person to sum up briefly, and in many ways he was an impossible person. But he was a very great man and a great writer. I admired him enormously and revere his memory.
High praise indeed from the author of Angels in America, Tony Kushner. New York activist journalists Ann Northrup and Andy Hum shared stories about Larry Kramer this week on their Gay USA show.
You know, I loved Larry. He was, a lot of people found him difficult. He was certainly cranky a lot of the time. But it's because he was angry about the world and he tried to do something about it and he was relentless about it.
You would always say, where is your anger? Given what we're going through, I mean, we're being slaughtered in this AIDS crisis, and he was pretty angry even before that. You know, I mean, one of the first time I became aware of him, this op-ed piece appears in the New York Times and it says, gays in New York don't deserve their rights. They're not working hard enough for them. They have it in San Francisco. What's wrong with you in New York? And I said, who is this guy? I never heard of him. I was an activist for 7 or 8 years by then, and we were working hard on it, and it's tough. And so when I finally met him, boy, oh boy. Of course, before all this, he was famous as the screenwriter and producer of Women in Love, the movie in 1969. On the D.H. Lawrence novel, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award. And then he was a movie producer.
And one thing that impresses me is that he did have this movie industry career. He was an Academy Award nominee, and he could have gone on to continue in the industry, but he didn't. He started writing these books and plays about the gay experience and gay life. And when HIV and AIDS became more visible and more of a political issue, he dove right in. And the fact that he was willing to walk away from his movie career and into this political activism, I think, was astonishingly admirable. He was fearless and relentless about all of this. The irony, of course, was that in person, he was a very sweet guy.
He was a pussycat.
Shy.
Why are people afraid of me, he would say.
He was furious at gay people for not doing more on our own behalf. But he also said in the same breath, I love my gay people.
Yes.
Constantly.
Except Ed Koch. when Koch was the speaker at an AIDS walk, and Larry is the only protester up there standing in front of the entire assemblage holding a sign saying, Koch, the worst. Wait, there's more. Koch moved into his building after his mayoralty in 1989, and the board of the building said, Larry, you can't speak to the mayor anymore. It's too upsetting everybody. So he said, all right. So when he would see Koch, he would look at his dog and say, Molly, that's the man who killed all of Daddy's friends.
And I remember him prominently carrying the Koch, I'm a heterosexual, and the other half of the sign says, and I'm Marilyn Monroe.
That was Gay USA's Andy Hom and Ann Northrup. Ann was instrumental in organizing last year's alternative Stonewall 50th anniversary rally, where Kramer made one of his last public appearances.
What does pride mean to you? I'll tell you what it means to me. I love being gay. I love my people. I think in many ways we're better than other people. I think we're smarter and more talented and more aware of each other. And I totally do. I am very proud to be gay. I'm approaching my end, but I still have a few years of fight left in me to scream out.
Yes. We love you.
To scream out the fact that almost everyone gay I've known has been affected by this plague of AIDS. As it has since its beginning, this has continued to be my motivation for everything I've done. It's been a fight I've been proud of fighting. Fight for our rights, take care of ourselves and each other, be proud of ourselves, be proud we are gay. This should be what every gay person is fighting for 7 days, each and every week.
Larry Kramer was reportedly working on a play about the COVID-19 pandemic when he passed away on May 27th. He would expect his people to carry on the fight.
I don't think that we face up to the fact that a huge portion of the population of America hates us. I don't mean dislike, I mean actually hates us. And we don't fight back with sufficient fury.
And yet, there's a kid who rushes up to me on the street and says, "Thank you for saving my life." And that just makes me want to cry. So that makes it all worth it.
For discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer. Some of the sound you heard during our Larry Kramer tribute came from the PBS NewsHour, NBC News, Democracy Now!, Gay USA, and Reuters. Michael Callen performed Living in Wartime, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email twlradio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KSPC Claremont, California, CKUW Winnipeg, Manitoba, 2MTM Coonamble, New South Wales, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe, y'all, and stay tuned.